KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have overcast conditions here this morning and windy conditions with a temperature at 10 degrees right now here at the KJAN studios. That's expected now to really be about as warm as it's going to be here today in the Nishna Valley with our winds factored in. It really feels like about 10 below right now here in Atlantic. We picked up 5 inches of snowfall yesterday here at the KJN studios and added on an additional 10th of an inch of ice glaze as well, as we have, of course, winter weather affecting the region. And that'll continue here through the day today. A number of advisories and warnings out there still. And let's take a look at those here for you this morning before we dive into other news. For Audubon, Guthrie, Dallas, Cass, Adair, and Madison counties, a winter storm warning remains in effect until 6 p.m. here this evening. Adams, Union, Taylor, and Ringgold counties have a winter weather advisory still until 6 p.m. For Shelby, Pottawatomie, Mills, Montgomery, Fremont, and Page counties, a wind advisory is in effect until 1 p.m. this afternoon. For Shelby County, also along with Monona and Harrison counties, a wind chill advisory will go into effect at 4 a.m. Sunday and continue until noon Sunday, so some very cold temperatures ushering in after the winds die down as well. Monona and Harrison counties have a high wind warning until 8 o'clock here this morning. That then will transition to a wind advisory from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And for Sac, Crawford, and Carroll counties, they are now in a blizzard warning that remains in effect until 6 p.m. here today. We're expecting wind speeds out of the northwest at 25 to 35 miles per hour and gust up to 50 miles per hour expected here across the region. And a little bit more sustained in some of those areas on the northern side of the listening area. And that's why those issuances are out there for those blizzard warnings and winter storm warnings yet here across the region today. So travel's still going to be tough here on this Saturday. Of course, road crews out there doing their best they can to clean things up. But, of course, with the mix of snow and ice that we got, a little difficult to do that in the first place. And then you add on all the blowing and drifting that's going to be an issue here today. Going to be tough to keep up with. So it would be wise, especially here this morning, if you have travel plans, to maybe adjust that, or definitely take a lot of extra time if you are going to be out there traveling here this morning. The latest map from the Iowa Department of Transportation showing that roadways are listed as at least partially covered here across most of southwest Iowa. The completely covered in some locations, especially as they head toward the Des Moines Metro, and then travel not advised still on the northern side up through the Denison and Carroll areas towards Ida Grove and then further north. Travel not advised there as conditions still really rough. Tow bans are in place for most of the area as well, especially the immediate area. Adair, Shelby, Pottawatomie, Cass, and Carroll counties all with tow bans in place. Tow ban all throughout the Des Moines Metro as well here this morning as road crews try to work to get things cleaned up here in the Nishna Valley. So that's a rundown of what's going on for you with the weather. In other area news, a winter storm dropping several inches of snow and sleet, of course, brought high winds, cancellations of classes, activities, and services across Iowa Friday. About half the flights from Des Moines International Airport, where more than 4 inches of snow fell by midday Friday, were canceled or delayed. And more cancellations, of course, then were likely. And also a number of accidents reported around the area yesterday. There were numerous moments where the portions of Interstate 80 were shut down due to accidents out there on the roadways. And, of course, going to be asking folks to take their extra caution here today to avoid a repeat there of yesterday. In other news, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports 3 arrests on Friday night. At 6:30 p.m., deputies arrested Shiloh Major and Christina Squires on active warrants. They were taken to the Montgomery County Jail and booked in. Major is being held on $10,000 cash-only bond, and Squires held on $4,000 cash-only bond. At 11:45 p.m., Montgomery County deputies arrested Justin McConnell following an incident in the Cubby's gas station parking lot. He was taken into custody for public intoxication and transported to the Montgomery County Jail. He was booked in on $300 cash bond. Montgomery County deputies were assisted by Red Oak Police in his arrest. More than 100 piglets died on Thursday when a semi-trailer carrying about 1,700 of the animals overturned on a freeway just north of Des Moines. Tom Colvin, chief executive officer of the Animal Rescue League of Iowa, says about 100 piglets were found dead at the crash site. Crews had to euthanize another 17 that were injured. Colvin told the Des Moines Register that they were suffering. The crash happened Thursday afternoon when a livestock trailer overturned on a ramp to Interstate 35. The surviving animals were loaded onto other trucks and driven to a livestock operation. The Atlantic Police Department is warning area residents of a scam that continues to circulate around the area in which local church members or numbers are being used to text people asking them for iTunes gift cards. We recently reported on a situation in Glenwood where the scammers were posing as a local father for the Catholic Church and asking for gift cards to support a terminally ill parishioner. The scammers ask you to scratch off the PIN number on the cards once purchased and take a picture of the card number and PIN and send it to them. And they, of course, are reminding folks to not respond to those requests. It is a scam. If you have any questions, you can contact the Atlantic Police Department at 712-243-3512. The chairman of Iowa's two major political parties are both defending Iowa's first-in-the-nation caucuses against critics that say the state's population isn't diverse enough. Iowa GOP Chairman Jeff Kaufman says Iowa's caucuses give candidates a fair shot that they wouldn't have if the process started elsewhere.
If you really believe that anybody in this country can someday be president, you have to start in a place like Iowa. You start them in California and Texas or New York, where some of the criticism is coming from, then you have just blown out of the water something far, far more important.
Former San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro ended his bid for the Democratic presidential nomination 2 weeks ago, but he spent the last month of his campaign calling for more diverse states to lead off the voting in 2024. Kaufman's response?
This criticism that we're hearing are either from failed candidates that don't want to look in the mirror and ask themselves why they didn't connect with Iowa voters, or they didn't spend enough time here.
Iowa Democratic Party Chairman Troy Price says the caucuses get criticized every 4 years.
But what happens is, on caucus night, people see what happens. And you know, the reason why this caucus process stays first is because we provide a fair and level playing field for people to come and make their case to Iowans.
Price says presidential candidates are stronger and sharper after hitting the campaign trail in Iowa and answering questions from voters.
You know, starting in a state like Iowa, they're able to better talk to folks in the upper Midwest. What we saw in 2016 is the upper Midwest is very much a swing area of this country. And so Iowa prepares them for that.
The Republican Party's chairman says while Iowa may not be as diverse as other states, Iowa voters showed their discerning because an African-American won the 2008 Iowa Democratic Party's caucuses, and in 2016, a Cuban-American won the Iowa GOP's caucuses. And he said, we reflect our values here and our choices. Barack Obama and Ted Cruz, I rest my case. Kaufman and Price made their comment during a taping of Iowa Press, which aired on Friday on Iowa PBS. First three states to vote in Democratic presidential race will use new mobile apps to gather results from thousands of caucus sites. The technology is intended to make counting easier, but raises concerns of hacking or glitches. Democratic Party activists in Iowa and Nevada will use programs downloaded to their personal phones to report the results of neighborhood caucus gatherings to the state headquarters. The party is moving ahead with new technology amid warnings that foreign hackers could target the 2020 presidential campaign to try to sow chaos. They say they are taking numerous security precautions. Utah authorities say a 64-year-old sex offender recently released from an Iowa prison has been arrested on suspicion of sexually assaulting a woman on a Greyhound bus. KUTV reported Thursday that Gregory Kill was arrested in the small northeastern Utah city of Vernal after the driver stopped the bus at a restaurant and reported the alleged assault to a restaurant manager. The alleged victim told police she moved away from Kill during the trip, but he followed her inside the bus, exposed himself, and sexually assaulted her. Police say Kill told an officer that he was on his way to Oakland, California after his release from prison. And in a follow-up to our report earlier this month with regard to a fundraising effort for the addition of turf at the Trojan Bowl in Atlantic, the Atlantic Schools Booster Club and the Facility Improvement Committee announced on Friday that the Atlantic Bottling Company and the Tyler family have offered a matching grant of up to $100,000 for renovations to the Trojan Bowl. The matching funds must be raised between now and the end of March 2020. Kirk Tyler has said that the Atlantic Bottling Company is excited to partner with the Booster Club and FIC because of the critically important role that Atlantic's school system is in attracting new residents and future employees. For several decades, Atlantic has been home to Atlantic Bottling Company, and they appreciate the support the community has shown them throughout the years. The Booster Club, FIC, says the bottling company views the fundraising project as their way to give back to the community. The $9.5 million bond issue passed last year to make major improvements to Atlantic's current outdoor athletic facilities and did not include the later addition of field turf at the Trojan Bowl. The Booster Club and Facilities Committee have been working with private donors since that time to offset the additional cost of field turf. To date, $115,000 has been collected or pledged. Officials say if Atlantic Bottling's matching grant financial challenge is reached by the end of March, that would, of course, generate another $200,000 toward the project. The Atlantic School Booster Club is a 501c nonprofit organization. A dedicated account allowing persons to make tax-free donations toward the project has been established at Rolling Hills Bank and Trust. Donations of any amount are welcome from individuals and businesses. You can make checks payable to the Atlantic Schools Booster Club and send to the Rolling Hills Bank and Trust. Attention, Emily Friend, 1307 East 7th Street, Atlantic, Iowa, 50022. And there's a number of donation levels that are being supported in an effort to try to get that field turf money raised. And scoreboard advertising panels are also available on a first-come, first-served basis for area businesses. You can contact Andy Mitchell, Assistant Principal and Athletic Director, at 712-243-5364 for more details. And Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers reports that officers investigating reported suspicious activity Thursday night arrested a man on a felony drug charge. Police were called to the area of the 1200 block of South 16th Street at around 8:45 p.m. on Thursday. The suspect, 47-year-old Timothy Clayton McCollum of Coyne, turned himself into the Clarinda Police Department without incident. He was arrested for felony possession of methamphetamine and later released after posting a $5,000 bond. Reports concerning the incident were submitted to the Page County Attorney for the filing of formal charges. That's a look at the latest in the news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements this morning. Rick Stone, age 67 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at his home in Atlantic, and a visitation for Rick Stone was held last evening. Ida Ruth Kaufman, age 90 of Minden, died Monday at the Risen Sun Christian Village. Funeral services for Ida Ruth Kaufman will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Minden United Church of Christ. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Patrick E. Castle, age 63 of Anita, died Tuesday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Pat Castle will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Donnie Powell, age 74 of Messina, died Wednesday at his home. Funeral services for Donnie Powell will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home Messina has arrangements. John Zimmerman, age 70 of Westphalia, died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial for John Zimmerman will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Nancy Lee Reiner, age 76 of Cedar Rapids, died Monday at Unity Point Health St. Luke's Hospital. A memorial service for Nancy Lee Reiner will be held on January 23rd at 1 p.m. at the Tien Funeral Home in Cedar Rapids. And Elsie Bell Kashnui, age 96 of Westlaco, Texas, formerly of Marnie, died on Wednesday at the Knapp Medical Center in Westlaco, Texas. The Liberty Chapter number 230 Order of Eastern Star Service and funeral service for Elsie Bell Kashnui will be held on Thursday at 1:30 p.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And William E. Anderson, age 70 of Kent, Washington, formerly of Atlantic, died January 11th. No local services are planned for William Anderson. Norma Jean Richter, age 91 of Adair, died Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Norma Jean Richter are pending at Hockenberry Funeral Home. That's a look at your news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.